Chapter 2. Damage Control. A female employee walks into the court administrator's office and reports she was raped by Judge Dickhead. Does the court administrator immediately call law enforcement and report the rape? Fuck no. The first thing the Florida court administrator will do is try to determine if it was a light rape, a medium rape, or a heavy rape. The female employee fills in the details that she was beaten, and then her clothes were ripped off, and then she was bent over the judge's desk and sodomized. The court administrator takes this all in and determines this was a light rape. Therefore, all that has to be done is to inform the chief judge and court administration's job responsibilities have been fulfilled. Court administration can never call law enforcement. You will be unemployed and waiting to be picked up on the street by your spouse before cops even respond. The same goes for notifying the press. Court administration's only job is to protect the judiciary, that's it. Simple yet horrifying. Let's for a moment consider that the Ninth Circuit Court of Florida is the Titanic. Iceberg is hit. Check. The ship is going down. Check. So in a Florida Circuit Court, the chief judge would get the first lifeboat to themselves. You know that talented bow-tied string quartet that was hammering out the sweet tunes on the deck? Yeah, they would be in there with the chief judge along with a ship's top chef. Half the weight in the entire lifeboat would be food, booze, and maybe a sexy companion. The next lifeboats would be awarded to the circuit judges, and the last of the lifeboats would be given to the county judges. The court administration employees better find themselves a 3-mile hose because they will all be sucking in air from the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Well, maybe not all of them. If there were some judges who didn't make it onto a lifeboat, they would have tied all the dead court admin employees' corpses together and used them as human life rafts. I shit you not. Court administration employees are not only expendable to the judiciary, but they are also biodegradable and therefore recyclable. Their lives and happiness are meaningless to Florida judges. At least they were in my circuit. Initially, I was going to make this chapter the prologue of my book, but instead, I wanted your buy-in. I felt a need to get you somewhat invested in my story. You had to have a taste of what happened at the Ninth Circuit Court of Florida in order to determine if any amount of damage control will help Munyon and Perry. After you're done reading this book, you will probably come to the conclusion that damage control would be like an air traffic controller adjusting his radar after two jumbo jets had collided in midair. Okay, radar recalibration checks complete. We're good now. Other than picking up the bodies, not a lot can be done at that point. Damage control to court administration takes on the form of checkboxes. In the case of the book you're reading now, the first box that will be considered, box 1, content. Does my book have enough factual content to make other judges realize it's true? Belvin Perry, the former chief judge, and Lisa Munyon, the current chief judge at publishing time, but not for long, know it's true, and all court administration executives know it's true. I realize that it's unbelievable in a sense of the word because no one would ever believe a court could turn into such an outright 3-ring circus. Court administration response is, shit, better move on to the next box. Box 2. Circuit-wide message dissemination. Have all the judges at the Ninth Circuit been sent my open letter? I didn't want to compromise my staff, my friends, by sending email through the court's infrastructure. So in order to send my open letter to all judges at the circuit, I went analog. I wrote some code that ripped random last names off the internet, then added the words law or PA or firm in different combinations to make several thousand return address labels and gave them to my publisher for mailing. In this way, Munyon can't alert our circuit to watch out for inbound mail with the return address of whatever, because there isn't one return address the same as another. So all the judges in our circuit received my open letter via snail mail. You can block and recall email, but you can't with snail mail. Court administration response. Damn it, better move on to the next box. Box 3. Statewide message dissemination. Have all the judges in the state of Florida been sent my open letter? Damn straight. It cost my publisher $1,000 in stamps, but my mother always told me that you have to spend money to make money. My publisher even sent letters to the appellate courts and the Florida Supreme Court judges. Court administration response. I'm afraid to look at the next box. Box 3. Nationwide message dissemination. Have all the judges in the nation been notified about my book? No, that would take too long to target all the judges. So instead, my bots have been ripping email addresses for all active attorneys from every bar association in every state. When you fuck with a mega tech guy, you better consider I now have a mailing list of all the active attorneys in the nation. My publisher found a wonderful overseas Indonesian company. I love Indonesian cold emailers that has some blazing fast email servers along with the overhead capacity to send my open letter, which is posted at the end of this chapter, to 100,000 U.S. attorneys per day. I would say the cat is out of the bag. The genie is out of the bottle. The baby Ruth has exited the asshole. Interesting statistic. There are 6,543 active attorneys in California whose last names start with the letter A. Court administration response. Damn, that one hurts. Next box, please. Box 4. Press message dissemination. Has the press been notified about my open letter and book? Yep, my publisher sent my open letter to 50 of the major media outlets in Florida. Court administration response. Damn, we're in a tight spot. Oh, brother, where art thou? Reference if you didn't catch it, Matt. Box 5. Should the chief judge post a statement using the court's website? That would be damned if you do, damned if you don't type of thing. With few options, maybe Munyon will make court administration post a response to my open letter and book on the court's website. Responding to my book in any manner using a state-owned website makes it a state issue and opens the state to legal exposure I'm certain they would just assume to avoid. I would be very surprised if there is any mention of my open letter and book on the Ninth Circuit's website. Court administration response. When the going gets tough moves to the next box. Box 6. Should the chief judge make a public statement to the press? Any public statement by the court, Perry, or Munyon about my open letter or book is admitting it's a problem for them. And if you do make a statement on the record, it's not your typical Sour Grapes employee where I have just one main gripe. I wrote an entire book, well over 200 pages with hundreds of gripes. So Munyon can't simply say that one thing in my book is false because that implies that everything else in my book is true. So she would have to go chapter by chapter, identify issues and contest each of them. I would love that. Nice to know that she purchased a copy of my book. Better not pirate my book, Munyon. Court administration response. Damn, things are looking mighty grim. Please tell me there's not another box. Box 7. Should the chief judge reach out to the Florida judges? Perry and Munyon don't have all the Florida judges' email addresses, but I do. Even if they did, they would again have to use the Ninth Circuit's email infrastructure and computer employees to do the technical work. Again, that's using court assets, employee hours, and state and county infrastructure, which pulls both the state of Florida and Orange County into the situation and creates legal exposure for both. Court administration response. Agug, really, do we have more fucking boxes? Box 8. Should Munyon and Perry appear on a national show to plead their case? If they want a national platform, they need to appear on a national show and defend themselves. I don't see that happening, although Perry is such a press whore that he would fight to get in front of a camera being operated by a monkey. Perry believes that any press is good press, which also works for me. If they do this first, they should resign from the bar, and Munyon should tender her resignation to the governor and leave the court. Else, Munyon would be appearing and commenting as a sitting Florida judge. Not a great idea. Again, opening Florida up to legal exposure. Court administration response. Nope, there is no amount of damage control that can contain this situation. We're fucked. Box 9. Litigation. So what will Belvin Perry and his follower Lisa Munyon do? Have you heard the saying, if you're a hammer, then every problem looks like a nail? If you are an attorney, then every problem looks like a legal issue. They're attorneys. Therefore, they're incapable of seeing my book as anything but a legal issue. What they need to understand is any legal action against me or my publisher, either civil or criminal, can be compared to the thrashing about when you're already hips deep in quicksand. With very legal jerk and lunge, they will sink deeper and deeper until they can actually feel their toes burning from the core of our planet. My publisher sent a copy of my open letter to the court and to all the major press agencies in Florida. The feedback I got from the press is they would love to see this book litigated in court. It would drive my book sales through the roof. Dateline 2020 and Court TV would be getting a direct feed of the trial. It would go national, it would go viral, and I would have a smash hit bestseller on my hands. So damage control related to trying to stop my message from getting out is not possible. It's already done. The secret is out. I spilled the beans. Everyone knows. It's common knowledge. It's no longer under wraps. Elvis has left the fucking building, bitches. And every day more and more of our nation's judges and attorneys are being notified. The best move Perry and Munyon could make is to stick their little doggy tails between their little doggy legs and immediately retire in shame and hope the hoopla over my book eventually dies down. Yeah, right. I don't believe that for a minute. They're way too egotistical to do anything but thrash around in the quicksand. I just wish I could be there to see their heads sink under the sloppy sand as they pucker out their lips to get that one last breath before sucking in a mouthful of grit as their careers quickly die away. I would refer to that as a good dream. Box 10. Data control. In future chapters of this book, you'll discover that Jezebel kept Perry's fat ass in the big chair because she spied on all the court's computers and provided him with the information he could use to blackmail judges and staff. T-hat was then. And this is now. If Munyon had given my termination the slightest bit of thought, a minuscule moment of consideration regarding interpersonal relationships, she might have realized that I hired every person on my staff, treated each of them like gold, like they were my family, and all of them are my personal friends and have been for up to 30 years. They still support me as I always supported them. After all, that's what friends do. In what world does Munyon live in where she believes my friends will support her instead of me? My staff isn't scared of Munyon in the least. To professional computer experts, the chief judge is nothing more than a team mascot. My friends only notice them when they're running around the courthouse in a fluffy, colorful suit. This is the takeaway. My staff, my friends have access to all the court's data, judges' social security numbers, home addresses, computers, disk drives, email, text, and phones that connect to the court's network. They can even tell me who's having lunch with Munyon. Warning. In my follow-up book, The Ninth Circus Court, The Fallout, if you're a judge or attorney and want to become infamous with your very own chapter, then allow yourself to be seen by my friends with that monster. Something tells me that Lisa Munyon is the Ninth Circuit's brand spanking new pariah. Lisa Munyon's phenomenal miscalculation wasn't solely dependent on fulfilling her hero, Belvin Perry's, wishes. No, Judge Munyon simply doesn't understand friendship. That shit doesn't compute with her because she's been a judge for way too long. You've heard the saying, there is no honor among thieves. Well, fuck that. There is zero honor among judges. Here's an example for you. Munyon is the driver of a car, and in the passenger seat is her good buddy circuit judge Dickhead. Sitting in the back are her two next best friends, County Judge Dimwit and County Judge Simpleton. Up ahead, Judge Munyon runs into a particularly slick patch of political ice. These are dangerous career-ending conditions, so Munyon orders Judge Dickhead to throw both Judge Dimwit and Judge Simpleton under her wheels. Munyon stomps on it and splatters both county judges all over the political landscape. You see where this is going, don't you? Yeah, eventually she uses Judge Dick head for traction as well and successfully reaches her political destination. The reality of her situation is Munyon doesn't have anyone watching her back. But I do. I have an entire department still watching my back and providing me information for my next book. In the short term, Munyon better start carrying around a notepad, because that will be her only form of communication. She should eat each sheet of paper when she's done, which will probably push her over her 5,000 calories per day limit. As for the compromised court administration executives that will have to field this media disaster, if I were them, I would retire along with Munyon. Why would you want to stick around and end your career defending these assholes? Court admin execs spent 30 years doing the judge's dirty work, so maybe it's time to give up your drop check like me and slip quietly into the night. Let someone else tell the judges, no, it's okay, really. We've got this total public disaster under control. Trust us. Below is a copy of the open letter I sent to all judges in Florida. If you want to see the names I omitted at the end, simply write the Ninth Circuit Court's public records email and ask for this letter. Open letter to Ninth Judicial Circuit. Judges and JAs, as well as all the other Florida Circuit judges and JAIs, as well as all the judges in the United States. Oh, and the press, I'm officially claiming whistleblower status. Most of you have never met me or even know me. My name is Brett Arquette, and I was the Ninth Circuit Court of Florida's superstar CTO for 30 years, until my brand new Chief Judge Munyon fired me at 62 years old, and I had just started Drop. Most goodbye messages you receive from departing court admin employees say something like, "I enjoyed my time at the court, blah, blah, blah." However, my 30 years at the Ninth Circuit were horrible. I have permanent PTSD from my career at the Ninth Circuit. I was psychologically tortured every single day by the 20-year Chief Judge Perry and Judge Munyon for most of my years at the court. When Judge Munyon came into power, I knew my days were numbered. She had a mess to clean up for Belvin Perry, and I was that mess. The day Munyon fired me, I wasn't allowed back inside the court to collect my belongings. My most important family items were two hard drives I'd brought to the court to protect them from the approaching hurricane. These hard drives had all my family's photos and videos from when my children were born. I begged over and over to get those drives, but Judge Munyon wanted to punish my family, and therefore, she opted not to give me back those hard drives, and I lost every digital memory of my family. My kids will never see a movie of themselves or even a photo. They won't see their grandparents holding them as babies. It totally crushed my wife. I don't think she'll ever be the same. Can you imagine having devoted half your life to the court and then have a rogue chief judge cost you everything you hold dear, basically erasing my family's past? When Munyon fired me, it cost my family $250,000 in drop money, which my wife and I were counting on to travel and enjoy life. At 62 years old, I had to find a new job for the next 10 years. Who can hate someone that much? So, that was my retirement. No party, no gold watch, no discussion, just a single text message saying I was fired. Due to my wife's heart problems, I have to pay $1,800 monthly for health insurance on a $3,800 retirement check. Thank God, many courts around the nation recognized my court's technological achievements and have begun requesting my consultation. I'm certain I can help advance their court's efficiency via technology as I did at the Ninth Circuit of Florida. Please understand that Munyon was an average attorney, a so-so judge, and she was passed over by the Florida 5th DCA many times, as well as being beaten in the chief judge election by a new judge who was virtually unknown. Court admin felt the Ninth's judges finally voted Munyon as the new chief because they felt sorry for her, like the worst kid on the team who gets a participation trophy. Bad selection, but how could they know how this was going to turn out? In contrast, I was a superstar CTO. I took the Ninth Circuit from a court that no one had ever heard of to an ultra-advanced technological court that wasn't the most advanced in the state, not the most advanced in the nation, but the most advanced in the world. No court in the world can touch what I built for at least the next 20 years. For example, do you recall that mandate the Supreme Court put on the circuits, where your JA would have had to file like 6,000 orders? I wrote that code for the Ninth Circuit so my wonderful judicial assistants didn't have to go blind filing thousands of orders. Guess what? The Ninth Circuit was the only circuit in Florida to achieve the Supreme Court mandate. My code is still being used to mass file even more orders. Munyon didn't even thank me for it. Instead, she wrote me up twice and fired me. What a fucking bitch. I'm also a popular techno-thriller author of more than 10 novels, and my mother was a famous young adult Edgar Allan Poe recipient. Many of you read her books when you were growing up. Does Lois Duncan ring a bell? How about I Know What You Did Last Summer? I would have preferred to end my time at the court quietly, but when Munyon erased my family's entire past and future, I decided to write the book that will hopefully forever change the degree of power a chief judge in Florida can possess. We'll see if the pen is mightier than the gavel. Munyon chose to go to war with a 30-year court admin executive without understanding his force, his internal knowledge, his technological skill, his motivation, and most importantly, his decades of knowing court admin secrets. In short, this makes Munyon the Putin of Florida's court system. Check out my website to read the first few chapters of my new book, The Ninth Circus Court of Florida, my 30-year job from hell at Arquette.us. I want to apologize for my writing. It's raw and unedited because I had to find another job at 62 years old to keep my family afloat. When the free chapters run out, please buy my book. I need to make several public records requests to the Ninth Circuit to obtain more information to fully flesh out my book. But the first draft will blow you away, and doesn't everyone love a massive judicial train wreck? So, for my very first public records request, I am requesting the super secret human resource folder kept by court admin on Belvin Perry. Understand? Court admin can't put all the malfeasance Perry and Munyon committed in their real human resource folders because all court admin executives would be fired. So they kept a super secret, cover their asses folder on Belvin Perry and other problematic judges, which will be future public records requests. Since this folder is not officially part of Perry's actual human resource folder and is a state and/or county work product, this should be fair game. But what can't be allowed to happen is this folder hitting Munyon's hands before it's copied in its entirety, because she will certainly remove detrimental content. I'm demanding an affidavit from court admin ensuring both me and the press that this folder has not been cleansed by anyone in court. Of course they will lie for Judge Munyon and say the folder doesn't exist, because that's what the court administrator Matt Benefield does for a living. He's as spinless as all the chief judges that came before him. My book should be a cautionary tale of egocentric judges going up against entrenched and dedicated court admin employees. Why? Because we know all the court secrets. The only thing Judge Munyon will be remembered for is ignorantly lighting a match in the dynamite factory. I wrote a computer bot that ripped every judge's email and snail mail address in the United States, all who will receive this letter. Clicking the send button. Wait for it. Wait for it now. Thanks for your support. Brett Arquette.